Life area, and you can see her there as well. This is Ms. Mieko Kubota. And would you tell us where you're living in Florida?
Yes, I live in Miami, Florida.
From Miami, Florida. And how long have you lived there?
25 years.
25. Where did you live before that?
Before that, it's 5 years in New York and then in Japan. I born in Japan. And married in Japan, have a children in Japan, and my husband transferred to the office, Japanese company's office in, you know, the United States. That's why we came here and then stayed.
So would you tell us a little bit about your craft tradition, about what you've got here? What is right in front of you here?
Okay, this is a traditional container for the flowers. Okay. In Japan, we have same arrangement, you know, just putting the flower in a basket, like westernized arrangement also for decorative reason. But our Japanese art of flower arranging called ikebana. Ikebana is not only arranging the flowers. There is a discipline and very much too strict to the art form we have to follow. And doing flower arrangement also train yourself. As same as the boys doing it to judo or kendo, those sword training or physical training, or it's another one is called sado. You know, you have this festival, you have demonstration, right?
There are going to be people demonstrating those martial arts in the folk life area and the performance dance floor. Mm-hmm. But these women, Japanese women's traditions, there's also a woman from Pensacola who's going to be talking about the tea ceremony.
Yes.
So ikebana and tea ceremony and some things like tamari, which are decorated balls. These are things that girls might learn in Japan.
Yes,
am I right?
Yes, and have to. My generation is must taking those classes. Not, yes, it's a hobby, but training to be a good personality, good person to training the, you know, inside, outside also. And then probably very good artistic person and understanding natures, understanding the whole world. So that is just using ikebana is we're using the flowers and greens, right? And other things is, you know, using a sword, using the physical, you know, your body, or a tea, or it's different things using, but same, you know, same purpose is train yourself. So we call is ikebana also kado, is the way of flowers. The same as the sado is a way of tea. And the judo, way of the physical training. And the kendo is using a sword, way of sword. It's, you know, the material and the tools is different. But it's going to way of life you're learning. That's it all about.
And this involves Japanese philosophy as well, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's right, yes. Zen philosophy.
Uh-huh. Well, you brought some things with you to your left. Would you tell about these things?
Okay. It's best way to... I will show you a very simple arrangement, few of them. And then you can understanding how different from the Western arrangement. And I'm using for the... Since I live in Miami, Florida, and I have to using most of the things at tropical. And some flowers I brought from the... I bought from florist, came from South America or some from the Europe, like Holland. I pack up my car and driving almost 8 hours, drove last night, overnight. I'm still, I'm not tired, so much excited. So let me show you.
People have to come a long way to get here to demonstrate because Florida is so long and wide.
All right, this is a palm leaves, and if you go to the Miami, Florida, or more southern, instead of like oak trees and like beautiful pine here, but in the Miami we have the palm trees. The palm trees is lots of different coconut palm and lots of different ones. This is leaves from the Yarica palm. It's not so tall, but it's nice, beautiful foliage. Like this is a foliage, but I trimmed this way, a little bit more slender, because this is very traditional form I was showing it. It taking usually it's a couple hours, but today I try to, you know, quickly. And there is a important thing, the three of them. Three important lines. One is going to heaven, one is earth, and man. Okay, heaven and earth and man. All living together, right? So I am doing two. First, line of the heaven, tall, straight up. And then the earth. Part of the earth is short. Bending it. Toward you, this is heaven and earth. And mankind living between earth and heaven, right? So this is gonna be. Of course, the heights and width, everything.
We're having some sound carryover from the storytellers next door.
Oops. Wind is. Okay. This is the basic line. This is the basic line, you know, heaven and earth and man, right? Triangle, okay? And then we can add to more supporter or filling. See, what I did is like this way. Nature is so beautiful. When you go to the, you know, like see the outside, and the brown, those the tree trunk and the branches is brown, and the green, it's not only one color, it's dark green and the beautiful new shoots in the light greens, the beautiful outside. But those outside growing things bring it to inside. And stay more close to the nature. That is the purpose of the Ikebana also. Okay, now I added that one more to making this traditional classic form supposed to be the odd number, not even. So instead of a four, to make five.
Would the pot stand alone indoors or outdoors, perhaps in a garden? I'll ask you again in a moment.
Yes.
Does the pot stand alone mm-hmm. in an important way, or does it stand together with other pots or in a garden?
No, these are going to indoor. Ikebana is indoor things.
For indoors.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And same as other culture, it's doing the making the flower arrangement such a, say, it's refreshing and a meditation. So that's the time it's controlling yourself. Okay. Okay. So five leaves is. This way we can do any kind of material you're using it. sometimes whole flowers we can do this one, but the flower is usually the stem is so short. So the classic arrangement, most of the classic arrangement using the greens and the pines or other green material only. And the flowers is just added to some color. So let me add now. I have here the chrysanthemum.
These are lovely. These are live chrysanthemums that you're cutting. I'm just repeating this for the benefit of an audio tape that can't quite capture this the way a videotape could. You've placed the chrysanthemums. How would you describe their position as having a special significance
then?
Right, yes.
Well, this is, you know, right now it's important line is already done. So just put in there. But we just keeping simple. Simple as possible, and put it together right here. It's can see this is the philosophy of we bond together. Everybody bond the same way, same together, and then when you grown up, going to different directions. Okay, just physically live. You live in Florida. Somebody live in New York. Somebody live in California. Or maybe you are United States, somebody to the Africa, somebody living in Japan. Everybody different life, right? But then life is finishing, the time to come. When you born, the time to go too. And then this is indicated all together again. So this stem is not coming right this way, but if you're using some particular, like a stretcher, is a common name is Bird of Paradise. Other classical arrangement using lots of different material, but the tip is always come out and come back this way, indicated. Okay, so and going out and then back again somewhere. You know, up there. That is a symbol of so making everything together and then go out. Alright? So and also we call it here is water and then you have feet in the water, but it's there is a clean, nothing to happening here. This is simplest arrangement and oldest arrangement. It's called shoka. Thank you. This
and
one.
Did you learn this when you were a little girl? This simplest, oldest arrangement?
Yes, I started to 12 years old and has been all my life doing this as a hobby and teaching also. Okay, where was it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here, right here.
So when this one fell out,
yes.
You looked for its precise place to
yes.
put it back to.
Right. All the stems and angles supposed to be the where it is, you know, same way. Whatever you're using, the same way you have to make it. So now, and would you please put this one is in the down somewhere?
I certainly will.
Okay. This one is like this coming. So put
the, move this first.
No. I need a turntable, but that container. Yeah, that one is there. And then just careful, the water is in there. Okay.
For the benefit of the tape recording, I'll just say that she's asked me to move the flower arrangement she was just working with, and she's moving up some other craft items, and I'll ask her about them in a moment. I also want to encourage you girls to ask her another question or two. Anything you have on your mind. This stuff, if you were a girl in Japan, you might, or a Japanese-American girl, you might be learning this in your household. So, and Doug, one of our sound engineers, were you?
Do men also practice ikebana?
Yes. When ikebana started in about 500 years ago, the only men are allowed to doing it. Most of the things is women not allowed to do it because women has do not have light so much. So, and then traditional school is the teacher is all monk, from Buddhist monk, and supposed to be the they using the training to become the good priest of the Buddha in the temple. So flower arrangement used to be belongs to the temple and offer to the god or Buddha the flowers, and only the men can do it. But later on, they can more come to the home, and more women allowed to doing it. And now is more ladies than men enjoying it. Yes. Excuse me? Oh, this put in a sponge? Okay. I'm using that, it's called Kenzan, is like a needle point. I'm using the classical one. This one, I just, you know, I forgot to bring today to the narrow, those ones, so I'm using it. This is ordinary florist or Western flower arranger using it. You know, that. Today I just try to the shape only, and this is very easy. You can put in, and already the water in there. So just put in, push in the here. So quickly. If I using traditional equipment, it's taking a long time to standing up correctly. So please excuse me. I'm using this easy way. But this is another craft, bamboo woven. You know?
What's the Japanese word for woven bamboo? This craft tradition.
Craft tradition is what is K? Traditional woven bamboo. Well, it's called takezaiku. It's a bamboo craft. Only I would say that. Yes. There's so many bamboos in Asia. It's growing so beautifully. So olden days, they're using lots of things to chapstick, to plate, and the flower container, to basket, you know, the basket. Basket is can use everywhere, but especially instead of the wood, they're using bamboo. Now is in recently, the architectural advance is they're making the bamboo floor, like just the wood floor. Bamboo floor is much, much, you know, strong.
I see.
Yes. That's it. Okay. This is also takekago. This is a very beautiful form. So they made for the ikebana equipment. But the original shape is using for the, what does it say? I do not know that in English name. When the storm come and the river flooded. So you bring to the sand sack. They put in the river side to protecting overflow.
Sandbags.
Yeah, sandbags. They're making the bamboo stuck exactly like this. And they put the sandbag inside. And they put in. So, but it's so beautiful. And today they're not going to do it anymore. It's taking so much time. And then so much people making the bamboo containers. But this is so beautiful. So somebody using exactly same one sandbag to what I ikebana, and many people love it. So now it's very expensive containers. And then this one is plastic, but used to be old one is inside also bamboo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you acquire these, did you say, from a flower shop now? That's the sponge item.
Yes.
Where do you get the bamboo craft? Do you make bamboo craft,
no,
or you contact someone else, or
no? This one is I brought from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
You can you know, flower containers, ikebana containers, the store they have, but it's most of the things is order made. You know, not so many people doing the traditional.
Would you tell us a little bit about your family and about life in Miami?
Miami, okay. Well. Miami getting very much developed right now, but 26 years ago we moved with children, from through the New York to Florida. Miami do not have so much Japanese, and very difficult to adjusting. Okay, and you can see the Chinese, Japanese, same looks same and look like it, but completely different languages. We cannot communicate the languages. All Asian. We can communicate is Chinese, Korean, Filipino, all the other. We have to learn English, and we can communicate. But yet, Japanese is, how I can say, very different than other Oriental. Because other Oriental people is immigrant to state. And they just came and to get a citizen and stay here and make more family and, you know, the grandmother, grandfather, aunt and uncle, cousin already here. Like from the Cuba, from the South America, many of you from Europe, they come to stay new family, right? But Japanese, we always come because of the maybe husband or somebody who has a business or go to school, and then few years stay and go back. Now, quite a few people stay to restaurant business. There's so many sushi stores, sushi restaurants here, and they will establishing more. But usually it's just a few. But
so you're saying there's a lot of traffic back to Japan from the United States and from Miami.
And also education, the languages. It's Chinese also. We are so much different. We do not using alphabet, ABC. It's nothing to the old Latin words or lettering. We do not. Completely different. And right now I'm a school teacher. I used to be the school teacher in Japan, and long time I didn't practice in the school, but now is lots of Japanese little children in the Miami, we call it Dade County area. And so they have to hire the Japanese tutor system. It's called bilingual system. So I'm helping about 30 students a week in 10 schools. So I visiting and then helping it, but very, very difficult. It's all over again to ABC, to 1, 2, 3, or letter, you know, the mass letter is the same, but different pronunciation. And also the culture is so much different. We are very quiet. So children is hesitated to raise a hand, cannot talk till maybe it's taking about 3 months to 6 months to taking to the children to adjust, to impress what you feel, what you want. So that is I'm right now helping. But everybody love in here States because everybody friendly.
We hope so. I'd like to ask you girls, we're going to wind up this and work with another Hawaiian crafter in a moment, but I'd like to ask you if you've got some questions for Ms. Kubota. You've been very patient and a great audience, and especially about these traditions of Japanese girls, I thought you might have a question or two. And why don't the girl in the Miller hat ask Ms. Tandon a question? What are the red things?
Which red?
Here?
Plastic one. Okay, this is I try to do it. Demonstrate. You know, one is traditional and one is very modern arrangement, and one is between. Now I'm doing it. So the time is very short. So I go back to my booth and I do it. So if you're interested in later on, come to see it. I have lots of about 20 container I brought from the Miami. So I will do those 3 days, lots of arrangement to show, you know.
This young lady in the purple shirt may have a question.
Oh, okay.
A red
question.
Paper forget. Wrapping.
Well, what is it? Just ordinary ball. You know what? Okay. When cut the flowers, all those. Okay, now, this is done already. I did simplified, very much simplified. Done already. You don't need it too much flowers. Okay? Western arrangement is full of flowers, piled up. But Japanese arrangement, even this, it's okay. This is a willow. The springtime, the willow is coming in the near the water area. Because this basket is say is a sandbag for the river. So when you see this one, have to be, that is near the water. Okay? And near the water is a willow, always growing. And then, this is also it's the iris. Iris growing to just between the water and the land, the growing. So I using only two irises and leaves. Add the leaves, and then maybe I can do just tiny flowers even here. And when you're seeing it, oh, it's a springtime and near the water. And when you sing, it's so simple, clean, and our life is supposed to be very simple. The simple mind, okay? And do not own the so many things. If you have so many things, you can share everybody, right? And the simplicity is a way of life. Most happy life is very simple way. You don't need too much things. You're born with nothing, right? And going to heaven, nothing. So, it's just a simple way, and enjoy. You can enjoy more life. So, simplicity is a simplicity, and then in there, it's lots of things there. So, that is called way of life arrangement. Thank you. So, come to my booth later on. I will show more things. Okay? Thank you.
Because of the weather, the drum sounds different. I think the humidity, so. I don't have the car with me today, but usually that's how you play it.
So normally you'd use a drumstick on the little
yeah,
drum.
Yeah, and it gives you you don't get any sound with your finger.
Right, it gives you sharp.
Plus you can use just the pahu. It has the sound like it's moist or something. You have a lot of different beats, and every beat has a name to it, different types of beats. Then I'm also a kumu, a hula dance teacher. So we use the drum a lot to teach our ancient dances. And in a modern dance, we don't use a pahu. We use different implements. The uli, which is a feathered gourd, or the puili, the split bamboo, or rocks that you find along the beach, like the castanets the Spanish use.
Right.
We call it ili, and click it together like the castanets.
Ili. You have, for those that are interested, you're set up over here in the crafts demonstration area.
Right.
The folk life area.
We've got several of our crafts there.
Yeah, you probably have, 10 or 12 different things you do over there.
Yeah, I didn't bring everything, because I'm not supposed to be doing drums. I want to decorate the table a little bit, so I brought some other crafts.
Yeah. Didn't you say you learned a lot of this at the Kamehameha School?
Right, I attended the Kamehameha Schools, which is a school for those of Hawaiian ancestry. The money from the school is a grant from King Kamehameha's granddaughter, Princess Pauahi. And the money that she got went to the building of the school. And they also the Bishop Museum, which is a very very good museum. I worked there for 5 years as a student. And I learned to perfect drums and make a lot of other crafts. And also the ancient dances and chants.
In the Kamehameha School, they emphasize the traditional arts.
Right. Most of the students learn the dance. It's known for singing. Everybody there sings at the school. And we have song contest competition among the classes. And the groups travel all throughout the Europe, Asia, all throughout the world to sing and entertain.
Let's digress just a little bit. You mentioned just briefly that you're a hula instructor. And I know you coordinate a hula competition. That's coming up in the fall. Is that right?
Right. This is our fifth year. And my part of the competition is a Hawaiian. It's called Ho'ike. Ho'ike. Hawaii. Ho'ike means to gather, the gathering of the people. So we're having a hula competition on Saturday, the 5th of September, at Valencia Community College East Campus, which is over by UCF. And during the competition, we'll have the ancient modern dances, solos, chants, many different types of dances there, and chants.
Uh-huh. By the way, we're Willie Natani's group, which is Tongan. They're doing a really pan-Polynesian, covering all the Polynesian cultures over on the Folklife performance stage. They're doing a lot of more contemporary hula and Tahitian dances. We have Kai Brandon's group here that'll be performing this weekend that does the ancient hula.
Yeah, the kahiko.
Kahiko, hula kahiko.
Hula kahiko.
So we've got a lot of, a few thousand years covered there, I think, so be sure you take that in. So you do both in your competition, is that right?
Yeah, we do the ancient and the modern. Then on Sunday we have the Tahitian competition, the fire knife dance, and Tongan displays and some of the other cultures. We have crafts and everything else, too.
There's a pretty sizable Polynesian communities in the Orlando area, aren't they?
Right, in Central Florida. Orlando mainly because of SeaWorld and Disney, where we have the shows. So we have a lot of entertainers living right in Orlando itself.
Are entertainers being imported for that?
Yes. The entertainers there are from the islands.
And then they settle in that area.
Right. I've been here 15 years. Some of them been here 25, 30 years now. They become Floridians.
and one of the things they do, there's a Polynesian Village Resort Hotel in the Disney complex, which you can get into without having to pay. It's,
yeah. It's
and one of the things that the people that work there, now not all of them are entertainers. Some of them are greeters,
right.
Or work doing whatever there, they have an open house once a month, and that's where I met Hank.
Right, we go there and we volunteer just to display and show our crafts and everything. Sometimes they let us sell our crafts, and sometimes now we cannot, they change the rules. It's been changing off and on, so now we just go there to display our crafts, different type crafts.
But it is all volunteer.
Right, it's all volunteer.
And
I'm a kupuna, so I have to try to teach the younger children and the young adults our crafts. I'm 60 year old right now. I'm making 60 next week.
Okay.
Getting up there.
And also your brother does. He's not here today, but he does crafts too.
Right. My whole family do crafts. We all do Hawaiian crafts. We all learn all the different arts. I've done more because I've been more into the teaching and selling of crafts. So I do a lot more crafts in my family. But they all do phases of crafts.
It seems that a lot of people I met when I was doing the field work, a lot of the Polynesian people I met do a little, almost everybody does something. Is that
right. True? You learn to do different things. Because you dance hula, most of them are hula dancers, you learn to make the leis and the different costumes and outfits for hula. So you learn different crafts.
What are some of the other things that you have over there?
I brought my nose flute, which is the only type of flute blown by using your nose. It's very unusual. And this is the only thing that Hawaii has that nobody else has, which is the punio. Because one of our kings wanted different sounds, he started making different types of drums. And he came up with the knee drum, or the punio. I have many types of hooks there. I have the palau, which is the symbol of royalty. And my family has an old palau from way back, because of my great-grandfather, who was our Ali Nui, our high chief. And what else do I have? I have the ipu that we use for dancing.
You have any of the head ornaments?
I didn't bring the mask, the makini we call it. It's a mask with holes in it, and we use a top of cloth. And we have a top either of feather of uki, which is a dried type of grass, and we use that to use at the religious ceremonies and for combat. Usually the Ali or the chiefs or the Mo'i, the king, used to use those.
Question.
Okay, we're very, yeah, what people used to say that most of the people from America, well, England, or at that time I think it was New England, they said the Hawaiian people were lazy because when they started having plantations, the Hawaiians refused to work in the plantations. But the Hawaiians were self-sufficient, whether they fished, they were gardeners, they plant their own food and everything. And nature is very important to us because we get everything out of nature. Our foods, you know, houses. The coconut tree was one of the most important trees because we got our drums from that, our thatching for the roofs, many different things. Our drinking water, our drum, this drum here, our utensils for eating, all came from this, all from the gourd.
Is nature a theme in a lot of your music?
Yes, most of our songs have to do with flowers or rivers, ocean, a lot of different things. At the end, I'll do a little chant, and the chant is like a welcome chant, and the chant tells about the coming of the rain. Here comes the rain, you know, welcoming. Which is the rain is coming this way. And this, where is it coming? Is it coming? Well, Hawaii, it comes from the ocean or from the mountain. The difference with Hawaii, we have... We don't say north, south, east, west. Everybody asks, where's north? It says one of those four directions. It's either Mauka, which means mountainside, or Makai, which means toward the ocean. And no matter where you're standing on the island, the mountain or the ocean is around you. So Mauka could be north, south, east, or west. So this is why the directions are very difficult at home.
Why don't you go ahead and do that chant for us?
Okay. It's an ancient chant taught to me by my grand aunt. In my family, we have five kumuhulas, ancient dancers that are grandmasters of hula. And I learned this from one of my aunts. It's called the Iaia style. It's kind of spooky. People say it's spooky. And because of, in the old days, we didn't sing like how we do now. We learned that from the missionaries. But our chants were mostly either monotone or we had different tones in our chants. This is one of our chants. It's called Eiyoko Uke Helimaine. Eiyoko Uke Helimaine. Tahuakai pi mauna ovili. Evali aeke hau mo kamakani. Kanalumai. Kaikimai. Kaina mai, kaina mai ana iloko halikai malu malu. O kukahalo kikai kuahine, e aloha mai e, e. That's a chant that we use for greeting.
Beautiful. And what is it? It's a greeting chant?
It's a greeting chant.
What are some of the things it says?
It says, here comes the rain, basically. And we welcome you to, normally it's a competition we use it for, or a dance gathering, makahiki. Mm-hmm. And basically it's greeting people coming to our competition to come and enjoy. They say the rain is coming, but don't worry about the rain. Hawaii, the rain is very different than here. We have the mist rain, the kihau, which just fall goes over you and it's gone. And we have the heavy rain that, we play in the rain when it rains. Florida, we see the lightning. You don't play in the rain. In Hawaii, we just have the flashing lightning. We don't have the streak type. Yeah. So we're out in the rain. When it rains, we're out there and play in the rain and ski on the grass. You know.
Let me ask you something else. How about the word aloha? Can you kind of expound on that, what it means? It has several different meanings, I think.
Yeah, aloha means many things. It's used more in the context of greeting. Aloha, to greet somebody. If you see a girl that you like, or your sweetheart, I called my wife last night, she's from Tahiti, and they speak a slightly different language. In Hawaii, we say, e ko mako mako I loko kalani, e honi ko make make mako honua ne. In Tahitian, it's a little different. They use the T and the R's instead of L's. She would say, e toma toma tua I roto o talani, e honi I toma te mate mato honua ne. So it's similar, and you have to listen carefully, and then you can make, Hawaiians can tell what the Tahitians are saying. So I call my wife and I say, aloha vau ia oe, which means I love you. It's a little different. That's a good one for guys to learn. Women too, though. You know, aloha vau ia oe means I love you. And when you say farewell, aloha ahui o kako, it's hard, so people just say aloha. You know, but it's, the real farewell is aloha ahui o kako, which means thank, goodbye, Godspeed. It has a nice meaning, like in Spanish. What's the Spanish greeting they say? Vaya con Dios. That's a beautiful meaning to it. And it has the same meaning in Hawaii.
So it can mean hello, I love you, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And isn't, how about the part of the aloha spirit? What is that about?
Yeah, the aloha spirit in Hawaii is sharing. During the olden days, now it's changed a bit. It got westernized. But in the olden days, when you're walking down the street, you never walk far. People stop, they see you on the road, they pull over. Hey, where are you going? To the store. Jump on and go to the store. And you notice how many people are always hugging. That's our custom. You hug and you kiss on one cheek. And my wife's custom, they kiss two sides because of the European influence, the French influence. So they kiss two sides. Hawaiians usually rub noses, and that's to show affection. Like the Eskimos, I guess. And that's how we show affection.
Okay.
All the same. And we do not say ladies, we just say women. Vahine means singular or plural. We don't have anything for, in that context, we don't have anything.
Okay, we've got to wrap up pretty quick here. Any more questions before we do? Where are you located? Where's your stuff?
We're in front of the food booths back there.
In the Folk Life Craft.
I know everybody likes food, so you'll be able to find us right across of it, right by the stage where they're doing the shows.
And you'll be here all weekend, right?
Right, 3 days. I'm also, I graduated from college. It's BYU Hawaii, Brigham Young University Hawaii. I got my bachelor's degree and my master's and my associate's from there. And I'm a school teacher by profession.
So you're a Mormon then too.
Yeah.
Many Hawaiians and Tongans are Mormons.
Yeah, a large majority. Yeah.
How old are your students in school? What's the difference?
I taught high school. I'm a shop teacher, wood shop, metal shop teacher. Yes. Right now I'm training my grandnephew to make crafts, and my daughter. They're both learning crafts. Yeah, we do teach the Hawaiian crafts too, which is different than most shops.
Okay, thanks a lot. Uncle Hank.
We had a request for flute.
I don't think he has it with him.
The flute is over at the booth.
Over at his tent. Come on by and he'll play it for you, I'm sure. Thanks again.
Okay, mahalo pia for having us.
And when is that hula competition again in Orlando?
Hula competition is September 5th and 6th at Valencia Community College where I work, East Campus.
There's a luau tomorrow night. Is that right, Brent? At 5 p.m.?
It starts at 5. There's no telling what time it'll be.
Yeah, and they're going to be roasting a whole pig in the pit.
I believe we'll lay it on then, so there's no telling what time it will be over with.
Hawaiian time.
Hawaiian island. Okay, thanks again, Uncle Hank.
Thank you.
Stage, and thanks for bearing with us here and for pausing under the heat. The Florida Folk Festival is sponsored by the Florida Department of State and the Florida Park Service, but to my right is another Asian and Pacific tradition bearer, and Lily is a storyteller. And Lily, rather than me mangle your last name, would you tell me the correct pronunciation of your last name?
Sure. Correitamundo. You know the word exactamundo? Well, take exact out and put Koroita Mundu. Koroita Mundu.
Koroita Mundu.
Koroita Mundu.
Lily Koroita Mundu.
Yes. It means a medal. A koroi is a medal. Tamundu is everlasting. So it means some type of honor that the family has got. An everlasting honor. Unfortunately, I don't know what it is, and I don't have any honors that are everlasting. I'm sorry.
Lily, where are you living now? Are you in the Orlando area?
Yes, I live in Orlando because my husband plays in the Hawaiian Luau at SeaWorld. And I had a son and daughter that danced at the Hawaiian Luau at SeaWorld. She is now married in Chicopee, Massachusetts. And the son's just graduated from the University of Central Florida with a Bachelor of Science degree in civil engineering.
Heavy hitters. You have colorful native dress from the Hawaii area or the Tongan area. Would you set me straight? Where from before Florida?
From Fiji.
From Fiji.
Fiji. If anyone is into, well, the older ones will know, wrestling. They used to have a man called Jimmy Snuka. I'm from the same island as Jimmy Snuka. I've never met him, but I've heard a lot about him.
Well, you probably have a few stories about something of your own choosing. Would you tell us a story, perhaps, about Fiji or perhaps about Florida?
Yes, I have many stories. I make up my own stories. I like to write stories. I thought, now that we have grandchildren here in America, they've never been to Fiji, and we have a grandson here who is 7 years old, blonde hair, blue-eyed, tan skin. Looks very American, but eats like a Fijian. When he sits at the table, you know he's Fijian. He loves to eat. And we wanted to leave a legacy for them. We didn't want them to totally lose their culture. So we speak Fijian to him. He does not speak Fijian back, but he understands and he counts. And we also have inherited two American grandchildren who are children of our son's wife now. She's a divorcee and she has two children. And they now call us Nana and Papa and claim us to be their Nana and Papa, and we just love it. It just makes the family bigger, brighter, more colorful, and very tasty. We have children from all different walks of life, and it's just wonderful to see them all play together and enjoy themselves together and learn from each other. And I decided that I would write about when I was a young girl in my islands, so that my children's children would be able to learn a little bit of how I grew up. It may perhaps help them in time to come, I don't know. And I made the story up of a little girl. Well, I didn't really make it up because my aunt used to tell me these stories. My ancestral guardian, the spiritual guardian, is a shark. I do not eat shark. I believe that if I go to the sea, a shark will never bite me. Any other fish will bite me, but a shark will never bite me. He is my ancestral guardian. He is my grandfather. I don't eat him when he comes in a dish. I have to say no thank you and eat something else. But he is very powerful in my mind, and my aunt told me that he would visit her in the afternoons in the little island that we live on, the old capital of Fiji. She'd be asleep in our little hut and looking out to sea, and she'd fall off to sleep, and she'd see him coming from the ocean. She'd see him swimming right up to the shore, and then he'll turn into a man. In her dream, she would see this, and he'd come up right to the house, and he'd say, "Wherever you see me, you have to check and make sure that it's me." And he'd open his shirt, and she would see the gills, marks of a fish's gills on his chest. And that was his sign to let her know that it was he. And he would take her by the hand and tell her, "I am going to show you the world. I'm going to show you the places in the world that you will once travel to and see with your own two eyes. But I'm going to take you now so that you can see it." My aunt died at the age of 73. She never married. She traveled the world, and everywhere she went, she had already seen with her ancestor the shark. She said one time she was standing on board the Oriana, way up the top, the captain's bridge, when a shark, tiny little shark, flew right out of the water, right up to the top, and landed at her feet. And she said, "Yes, I'm here, thank you very much," and wiggled its way back to a little hole, and out it went back into the sea. Wonderful stories. I don't know whether I can believe them or not, but she did tell me, and I'm telling you, and whether they did happen or not, I cannot say, because I was not there to see it. She became very popular with women's groups. She traveled the world to talk at women's organizational rallies that they'd have. She was the first woman in the South Pacific to hold the international post for Pan-Pacific Southeast Asian Women's Association. Have any of you ever heard of that?
Now I have.
You have?
No. Just now.
Okay. Pan-Pacific Southeast Asian Women's Association has a membership of Puni judges' wives, senators' wives, people that are way out of my league, you know. I only see them as write-ups in the newspaper or watch them on TV. She became the first Pacific woman to hold that post of international president, and she held it for 2 terms. She also became one of the top 50 women in the world, chosen from the tiny little islands of Fiji to go and speak in Lebanon. As one of the top 50 women in the world, I look at her and I say, "Auntie Annie, how do they choose you?" She says, "I don't know." And she would write on air letter forms to these big judges' wives, and she'd tell me, "I have no more paper." And I said, "Well, I'll go get another one." She said, "No, I'll just turn it over." So, you know, an aerogram comes in a square. She writes within the square, and when she can't write anymore, she turns this way and writes across this way. And I tell her, "You're sending that to a judge's wife." And she says, "Well, the judge's wife understands that I'm running out of paper." But she was just a very natural person. She'd not go to extra length. She was just always herself. And I think that's made her what she is today. And I have for you a story here about a flower. This flower grows, we believe, only in the Fiji Islands, way up on a mountaintop where my grandmother comes from, the island of Tavuni. They call this flower the Tangi Mauthia. Say Tangi Mauthia.
Tiny Mangia.
Tangi Mauthia.
Tiny Mauthia.
Yes. This flower is only able to be, you can only pick it if the Tuatha Cao, the king of this island, tells you that you can go up and get it. Then you've got to go to the top of a peak and go down into the valley of it and pick the flower. They're like little bleeding hearts. Do you know what a bleeding heart looks like? They have little red hearts. They're like little red hearts. And when they open, they have a white center. Very pretty. And it's nothing out of this world, but it's very exotic in the fact that they've only found it growing in the Fiji Islands, way up on that mountain peak, not anywhere else in the islands. And it is supposed to be the tears of a princess. She was betrothed to a very old man. Her daddy was chief. He was the big boss. What he said, everyone had to do whether they liked it or not. So he betrothed her to an old man. And he said, "You've got to marry him." And she, "Please, Daddy, no, I don't want to marry him." She already had a young lover, and no one knew. But he said, "No, you've got to marry him." And she knew that she couldn't change her daddy's mind. So she ran away, and she ran way up into this mountaintop. And when she was up there, her boyfriend ran away with her, and they were in that valley. And she didn't want to come back down, so she cried and cried. She didn't know what to do. And as she cried, her teardrops fell. And as they fell, they turned to blood. And they believe that's what these flowers are. And that's why they call it Tangi Mauthia. The Tangi Mauthia means tears of passion.
Wow.
So they were her tears of passion, because as she cried, the flowers, the teardrops turned to blood, and they turned to little flowers. And so, When the father heard that she had run away, he sent a runner up to the mountaintop and told her, please come back down. You can marry the man that you want. You will not have to marry the old man. And so she came down and married her lover, but the flowers stayed. And today, the only time they pick these flowers is when the Queen of England visits the island, because she's our queen. She's the Queen of Fiji, because we were a British Crown colony. And whenever she visits, that's when he sends for them to pick. That's always her bouquet. As she ascends the boat and comes onto the wharf, she's met by a little Fijian girl in traditional Fijian costume, holding the Tangimothea flowers. And that's our story. Hope you enjoyed it.
Lily, if I could open this up to some questions. And girls, if you had a question for Lily before you go, do you want to ask her anything?
Thank you.
Yeah. Lily, how old were you when you came to Florida?
I came to Florida 13 years ago.
And have you always lived around the Orlando area and SeaWorld?
Yes. No. I began in St. Pete. And from St. Pete, we went to Ohio. Stayed in Ohio for almost a year. Then my husband and daughter and son, because they were dancing with the group, they traveled further up to Missouri and New York. I stayed in Ohio because I needed to be with our son there,
just
second son.
My curiosity is, what town in Ohio? It's okay.
Aurora,
yes.
Close to SeaWorld.
And you're here with the Natani group as well,
with
am I correct?
The Natani group, yes.
So you'll be involved in the luau perhaps tomorrow?
Yes. The cooking section. I'm involved with the cooking and the costumes. The dancing? No, I don't think I'll dance.
Are there other examples of things that are Fijian, that are typically from Fiji? You've mentioned some of the flowers.
Yes.
You've mentioned some of the music, dance, and stories.
Yes. There's also this lei that I'm wearing. This is a lei, a Fijian lei. We also have different styles, different designs of leis. A lei is an interesting subject, because when you make a lei, it usually is for love. When you think of someone going to have a baby, you want to make a lei. When you think of someone going to graduate, you want to make a lei. I made 12 leis in the last 2 days for graduation and also for a birthday in Samoa. There was a young man leaving for Samoa. He's going to the land of the lei, but he gets Auntie Lily to make all his leis before he leaves. I had to make him 7 leis, and he left with that yesterday. And that's why I was unable to make myself a fresh one for today, but you know, they always leave us with the old things, but my dad always says old is gold, so.
Were there teachers of Fijian arts like lei making? How did you learn to make a lei?
I learned to make a lei from my grandmother. In the islands, when you have children, you love to make them a lei. I've always loved to make, my husband gets mad with me, but I love to make a lei, because my grandmother told me, when you pick the flowers, you learn something when you make a lei. You learn not to be greedy. When you go out to pick the flowers, she'll tell you, pick only this many flowers. And then you say, why? And she said, if you want to pick another one, stick it in your hair, but don't waste. You learn not to. She makes sure that you just pick enough flowers, because you don't know who else is needing flowers to make a lei. And we use fresh flowers. And then she says, be sure not to break too many branches, because the branches have buds on them and you don't want them to ruin. You learn so many things from them. And I thought you'd just go and pick the flowers and help yourself and go, you know. But she always told me, no, when you make a lei, be sure you know how you're going to make it. Decide on how you're going to make it. And make sure you're thinking of the person with a lot of love as you tie that lei together. This is all made without any glue. It's all tied and braided. There's no glue at all. And that's how we do it. We tie it up with a lot of love.
Tell me a little bit more about your family and their own family traditions.
Our family traditions. Good question. We have a tradition in our family when our dad takes us out. We, you know, there's no segregating the children from the grown-ups. We all go out together. When we have our parties, we have parties. The whole family goes, from the baby to grandpa, you know. And we like to get our children to dance at these parties. They perform. And when they perform, we throw money. Mm. If it's a wedding. Mm. In the old days, we call it a vacawella. We take it and give them something while they're dancing. It shows how much you enjoy their dance and, you know, your appreciation of their dance. But now we use money because of the situation we're in. We're in America, and if I brought a piece of tapa cloth from home to drape over my niece dancing, she won't use it, you know. So we use money because the children need that to survive. Like when they go to a wedding, if we have a wedding, my son has a wedding, I will organize two or three dances. I have someone open the dance and someone close, and then other dances in between. And as they come out to dance, the families of that person will throw money, be it $1 or $10, it doesn't matter. You just take what you have and put it in the kitty. And all that money is taken and counted up and given to the bride and groom to start off their wedding.
Is there a name for that, for the bridal gift or the party or the or?
Yeah, we call it a vacawella. The Tongans call it fakapali.
How far apart are Fiji and Tonga?
Fiji and Tonga, maybe 3 hours by plane. Mm-hmm. Not too far at all. Not too far at all. One of our islands, one of the groups of our islands, the Lau Islands, are very close to Tonga. They're very Tonga-oriented also in their mannerisms, their looks, their speech, their dances. You can tell that they're very close, very, very close to the Tongan culture.
So there's a lot of crossover?
Yes, a lot of crossover. The Tongan language, the Fijian language, the Samoan language, the Tahitian language, you can always pick out a word or two that probably means the same thing in your language. Like we say rua, they say lua, tasi lua. We say ndua rua, we say 1-2, ndua rua, they say tasi lua. So it's, you know, it sounds almost the same. The Tongans don't have the R in your language. In their language. So if they say to you, I'm going to meet the royal family, they will say, I'm going to meet the loyal family. And you will wonder, what loyal family? Who's being so loyal? They mean royal. So if you ever hear someone speak to you and it sounds funny and you hear an L instead where an R is supposed to be, you may be right, it is an R. It's just the different ways that they speak, the different languages, the different dialects. Their language does not hold that letter R.
We have about 5 minutes. I want to invite any of you, especially you kids, to ask a question of Lily. She is demonstrating under the Folklife Area Crafts tent, not far from here. And also, 5 minutes from now, another demonstrator, I believe the Poons, Mr. and Mrs. Poon, we'll be asking them some questions as well. But these demonstrators are here for the entire folk festival, and I hope you'll stick around. Bob, do you have anything to ask Lily about Fiji and Pacific Island culture? No, perhaps not.
No. We're about 5 to 5.5 hours further down into the Pacific from Hawaii. If you look at the map with Australia and New Zealand, you look a little up from New Zealand, it's somewhere in between there, Australia and New Zealand. It's somewhere close there.
How many islands are there?
We have 349 islands and just over 100 inhabited. Our population has just reached over 500,000. Fishing, no TV, No TV. You wouldn't even miss it. You'd miss it for the first day, honey. After that, we keep your mind so occupied, you won't even want to come back to TV. We keep you fishing. We'll teach you how to go and get a chicken and heat up a stone and put the stone in the chicken and hang it up in the tree and let it cook there while everyone's smelling it. Who's cooking that? And your chicken is hanging up in the tree cooking and you sitting there just waiting for it to cook and enjoy. There's lots of lovely things. Go to get prawns in the river. You catch your prawns and you put them into bamboo, green bamboo, and you boil them in an open fire. Ooh, you won't want to come back to McDonald's. Then you make your own spear and you go out to the reef and you pick up all your beautiful shells. Yes, take walks on the reef. Take walks and you see the coral. We also have some, if you like going underwater, if you can go underwater, you can also see we have trees underwater that look like they have little cotton balls all over them. We have beautiful colored soft coral. All the different colors of the world are down there. You see, we'll make your life so colorful you'll even forget to come back.
Do you have a brief story before we say goodbye for now?
Yes, I'd like to tell you. Did you hear my shell story? Were you by my area this morning? No. Oops. Did my shell come up? It's in my basket, huh? Mm. Oh, right behind me.
One of these?
No, it's the big one.
Okay.
I got it. See, in the islands, you learn to just reach. And I didn't even have to turn, did I? Okay, I want you to take a good look at this shell. All the mamas and papas are included in this little story. If you saw me on the reef, you were walking with your friend, and you saw me on the reef, and this is what you saw, would you pick me up? Would you pick me up? If this is what you saw, would you? You wouldn't, huh? You don't wear Nike shoes. Don't look like Michael Jordan's t-shirt he's wearing either, huh? So you're not interested, huh? Looks too ugly, huh? Okay. Then my friend picked it up. Your friend picked it up and walked along with it. When you got home, after a couple of hours, your friend came and said, "Hey, John, look at this. Look at this shell. It's beginning to look good, huh? Does it begin to look good to you? Good." Then the next day he comes back and says, "Hey, look what I found. Man, he really shines." What would you be thinking then?
You should have picked it up.
The next day he's going to come and tell you, "Hey, guess what? I opened it up and in there was a pearl." Now what are you going to say? "You should have picked it up." You're going to kick yourself, aren't you? Moral of my story, never judge a book by its cover. Always read it. Always try to shine it up a little bit. Do the best you can with it. You might find it shines real good. Or you might even find a pearl. And I leave that with you with much aloha and much love this day. And I thank you very much for giving me this time.
How about a big round of applause for Lily? And you can spend some more time with her under the crafts tent in the Folklife area and also at the luau tomorrow night. And I hope maybe we'll be able to do this again or something like it.
Oh, it'd be my pleasure. Thank you.
Again, we need just a moment to...